Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I know that you're clamoring. I know that you're champing at the bit to get there, but it's all right. We got time. We're going to have fun, and there's a good chance that you actually don't care. But we have plenty to talk about on the Browns today, right around the corner from training camp, and plenty to get to around the world of the Guardians, as you're not that far away from the trade deadline, even though you're off for a little bit. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here from 7 to 11 on overtime. We have on the board, and you heard him on the 2020s, doing art behind the glass, handling it all today. Michael Markoch with us today. Just a small crew, just me and Michael for the night, but we're still going to have fun. You're not going to notice the difference. We're going to have a good time. I'll be honest with you guys. I started off today, and I'm doing what I normally do, which is spend an earlier part of my day basically prepping out the show. What do we want to talk about? What do we want to hit on? And I basically had the show done, and I'm driving into work today. And the beginning of the show got absolutely scrapped on my way to work. It was, and it's not because the conversation died and it was no longer interesting. It has nothing to do with that. It is completely based on the fact that I was sitting in my car listening to our station on my drive-in, and I'm listening to both Nick Wilson and Nick Padone today on Afternoon Drive, and they're having a conversation regarding the Browns quarterback situation as it relates to Shedeur Sanders. And they were asking the question and throwing it out there, what is more likely to happen? They were playing an extreme game of Shedeur would start week one or Shedeur never plays a regular season snap for the Cleveland Browns. Right. And that conversation itself, that doesn't get me mad. That doesn't get me angry. It was the conversation that they went down and the rabbit hole that they got to without reaching the conclusion that I was quite literally screaming at my radio in the car to actually reach, because I wanted to tear my hair out. Not because Nick and Nick were doing a bad job, but because it was so blatantly obvious to me that the Browns run into a real problem. It's a little bit longer of a clip, but it's really integral to what we're going to talk about. Here's Nick and Nick during that conversation at 5:20 today.
I'll be honest with you. The narrative about Shedeur not being NFL ready or referring to him as a project quarterback, I think is almost slander. I really do. And you know me. I would not have taken him at 2. I might have taken him with one of the second round picks. And certainly once you get out of the 3rd round, to me, it became very interesting. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. But I think that the attitude that I'm picking up from the Browns is we're trying to foster an environment where Shedeur can win. Yeah, the downside of that is it sure sounds like you're trying to tame Shedeur.
Yeah.
And I think it's insulting.
This is so simple to me. Like, I know the Browns love their projects and they love their guys, especially in this regime.
Kevin and the quarterback room, he loves guys that just shut up and do what he says.
But dude, like, that hasn't worked. Like, this should be so simple. Like, don't try to insult the intelligence of the fans. Start the season with Flacco. Let him really take Shedeur under his wing. And Shador's got the highest upside here. Shedeur is the guy of all four of them that could become a franchise quarterback. And Dylan Gabriel's not. Kenny Pickett's not. I don't care about
the
couple.
But they built in the excuse. They built in the he's a developmental quarterback. And here's the thing. I think it's insane. I think it's outrageous. And I don't, again, I'm not the shahonk on the show. Like, I'm not. But it is insulting to say a guy that played 4 years of college football, 2 years at the highest level of college football, is a project when that was never assigned to him previously. They've built in an excuse already of, well, we'll go to him when he's ready. All right, are you going to go when he's ready, or are you going to go when Kevin Stefanski decides he has no other bullets right in that gun? I can understand that Kevin would look at him with the way he looks at this thing and saying, yeah, I'm not going down swinging with Shedeur Sanders. I'll go down swinging with Dillon Gabriel or Kenny Pickett or even Joe Flacco, who I like more.
So all of this based on the fact, and they get there and they talk about Shedeur. It's a disservice, basically, to run things and talk about things in the way that he's just not ready. He's a developmental quarterback. And then get to this idea that he never plays a snap for the Cleveland Browns and that Kevin Stefanski essentially plays roadblock to that idea. Guys, I think it's very clear when we talk about Shedeur. We can talk about him sliding in the draft all the way to the fifth round. And part of that, due in part to some of what he showed on, I'm sure, in interviews, at the film room, on the field. But a lot of it we know probably has to do with the fact of what does Shedeur bring off the field, the attention for what a lot of people probably weren't viewing as a franchise-changing quarterback, which is fine. We knew going into this year, this draft class was short on quarterbacks, and it was basically, everybody thought it was Cam Ward or bust, and everybody else was a much lesser of a pick. And we know where I stood on it. I was very much in the camp of, I would take Shedeur at 2, and I wouldn't hesitate, and I wouldn't be upset about it. That narrative obviously played out, and you end up with him in the fifth round, but nothing changes about the conversations that we had prior to that moment about what we saw with Shedeur on the field. Right, let's rewind back a few months to the conversations that we had about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward when Shedeur was more, you know, closely viewed to being taken at the top of the draft. It was always a conversation of, okay, well, Cam probably gives you the better upside, but Shedeur might be the higher floor, right? He might be the guy that's more NFL ready to play right now and the safer of the two prospects. Correct me if I'm wrong, that does not sound like a developmental quarterback. When we talk about high floors and guys being NFL ready, that's not a developmental quarterback. I would love for somebody to show me the guys that you talk about there and in that same light, in that same ilk, that then people turn around and say are not ready to play in the NFL. It just doesn't happen. And the problem is, this should be so simple. And Nick Padone threw it out there of like, this shouldn't be a difficult thing. Shedeur has the most upside in a what is projected to be bad Brown season. He should be on the field at some point, right? Doesn't have to be week one, but he should find his way onto the field. There should be no way we're having a conversation that Shedeur doesn't play. And the obvious thing striking me directly in the face the entire time that I'm screaming at my radio is that this doesn't happen with other teams. Nobody else goes through and says, well, everybody can pretty much evaluate and look at it and say, that quarterback gives you the highest upside. Right? I struggle to find a guest that will talk NFL, that will talk Browns, that will say anything other than which quarterback has the highest upside? Well, of course, that's Shedeur Sanders, right? We asked Chris Easterling last night, which of these guys do you trust is the brightest, the future spot for quarterback? And he said, well, that's Shedeur Sanders, of course. And he didn't even hesitate. He almost responded to the question as if, like, was there another answer? Was there something else on the table? And rightfully so. But no other team goes through and plays with this idea that you have a guy that much in the upside in a bad season, and there's a possibility that he does not end up on the field, that you never get to him and he never plays. Nobody ever talks about that because those guys always get a chance, right? And especially, I think, when we talk about a bad season. If the Browns somehow find a way to get out and they end up going, you know, whatever it is, if they get out to like 8-9 wins, something crazy happens and you tell me you never see Shedeur, well, okay, because you clearly found a winning formula and maybe one of the quarterbacks panned out. I can accept that. I won't be mad. I'm telling you right now, if the Browns get to 4 wins on the season and they end their season, well below 500, and you never see Shedeur Sanders take the field, it's a disservice to the probably most talented quarterback, at least promising. I shouldn't say most talented. That's most certainly Joe Flacco at this point. But the most promising quarterback for your future at this point on the roster, and you never see him, guys should be fired. The front office should be just completely dismantled, and you should completely rework how you do things, because that is the number one sign of dysfunction. If we go through, and the way that Nick Wilson laid it out on the afternoon drive today, being like, well, I think Kevin Stefanski might roadblock him, essentially, right? Because I think he likes Dylan Gabriel more. I think he likes Kenny Pickett more and is banking more on his system. That's a sign of dysfunction. You need an answer at quarterback. You need a long-term answer at quarterback. I don't care if you can find a budget version of Kirk Cousins to make the offense move. I'm looking to win games, and I'm looking to win playoff games and eventually Super Bowls. I'm sorry, but you know, Kirk Cousins isn't even a guy who's going to do that for you, let alone the budget version of Kirk Cousins, which is essentially what you have on the roster in either Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel. I would struggle to find either of those guys having a more successful career than Kirk Cousins in the NFL. And now, knock them, Kirk Cousins is a very successful quarterback. He's made a lot of money, has won a lot of football games. But I don't know how many people have looked at Kirk and go, yeah, I could win a Super Bowl with Kirk. Not too many. And clearly it hasn't been done yet. I just don't see what the argument against it is. Like, this is the thing with four quarterbacks and the odd situation the Browns put themselves in that just does not make sense. It should be clear and cut. Start with the guy who's going to try to win you games. Once it's very clear that you're not winning games anymore, go to the guy who gives you the highest upside of answering your question at quarterback. It's what every team is trying to do until they solve the problem. Then it's on to the next thing. Every other team is trying to find the franchise quarterback. You're no different. You're right back in that same boat. It's not try to win as many games as you can. It's not, oh, hopefully we can get to 9-10 wins with Joe Flacco. If you do, okay, fine, great. But it shouldn't be, well, you know, we are, you know, 5-8. Should we just keep rolling with Joe? Should we just keep that thing? Like, no, probably not. You're not making a playoff game. You shouldn't be worried about wins at that point. It should be reset, get to next season, figure out what I have at quarterback, and probably much earlier than that. I just don't see how you defend Kevin Stefanski, and a guy that I think is a very good football coach. But if that were to play out on the field, if Kevin Stefanski went, you know what, no, let me turn to Dylan Gabriel, and that doesn't work, you know what, let me turn to Kenny Pickett, or vice versa in that situation, and you get to the end of the year and go, oh man, we forgot to play the fifth-round quarterback, but that clearly has the highest potential of answering the quarterback spot, then you should be out of a job. Whether you win two games or you win six games, you shouldn't have a job at the end of the year. It's that simple, because every other team, they draft a quarterback at some point, somewhere. They build a quarterback room and they go, hey, who gives us the best chance to win? We'll probably start the season with that guy. And who gives us the best chance to find our answer at quarterback? That's the guy that we'll turn to next. Or sometimes some organizations just go, who gives me the best chance to win in the future? I'll just start that guy. That's how other organizations operate, but somehow, some way, always not the Cleveland Browns, right? They always find a different way. They always find some version to make this so much worse than it has to be. It's a clear-cut answer, and if they go anywhere else this season, other than winning football games, which is the one thing you get a pass for doing, Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, and everybody under their regime should probably be out of a job, and we should be searching from ground zero on trying to find where the next direction of the Cleveland Browns is. Because at the end of the day, scheme does not matter over talent. Talent should win out. The most talented, promising quarterback should at least get a shot this year before you turn it over to the first-round pick next year and just basically deem it a dud. 216-474-00.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
92. Is there any way that you'd be okay with Shedeur Sanders not playing in a bad season? You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. So we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good things coming up for you guys tonight. As always, we have the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We have a brand new segment. We'll bring in Michael Markoch, 8:20. Never done before. You'll hear it for the first time coming up in the middle of the 8 o'clock hour. Get a grips at 9. We're going to talk to Logan Potoski, play-by-play broadcaster for the Lake County Captains. Also covers the team for Cleveland Guardians on SI. Talk to him draft prospects, where the major league team stands. Everything good at 9:20. And, of course, change your mind in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. Is there any way Shedeur Sanders should not be playing in a bad season? And as well, it's going to sound like an odd one, but a this or that that we have to answer coming up in 5 minutes, as well as your calls right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys until 11 on The Fan. Is there any way Shedeur Sanders shouldn't be playing in a bad season next year? And it stems from this idea of a clip that we listened to earlier on in the first segment on Afternoon Drive today, basically going back and forth and talking about the fact that there's a good chance that, you know, Shedeur comes in as a fourth quarterback on the roster, a third quarterback on the roster, and potentially doesn't even see play time this year. And they brought up the idea that Kevin Stefanski might not be a fan of the pick, might not be a fan of the player, because he can't control the quarterback. At some point, you have to give that up. You have to let talent win out. And these are the things that just indicate to me a dysfunctional franchise at the core of it, which is something we're trying to get away from. It's looked like in recent years, the Browns were at least, I mean, aside from the Deshaun Watson signing, which, listen, you can talk about it. Like, basically, every GM in the NFL would have taken Deshaun Watson at that point over Baker Mayfield. I mean, it just is what it is. Like, Deshaun was an elite-level talent, and it didn't work out, and they banked on, ultimately, a guy who had shown he wasn't a very good human and then showed here that he wasn't a very good quarterback. That's a problem. You hand him $230 million. It's a problem. But almost every other move they made was in the form of competency. It was like, oh, they're building towards something. And I think making a really good point here, the real Xavier P on X said, this conversation tells me Kevin believes his system supersedes talent. Can't tell me anything else. Yeah, you see the wide receiver core, one injury, we're done. If Kevin is who he thinks he is, Shedeur should start, and we would have confidence that we can groom him to be the quarterback that we want him to be. It should be that simple. Like, the system is great, and you have to find quarterbacks that can play in the system. It doesn't mean that you only take quarterbacks that directly fit the system, and those are the only quarterbacks you can play. There's nothing that I've seen in Shedeur Sanders' games that tells me he can't run a Kevin Stefanski system. To be honest, I think that most quarterbacks can. If you can go under center and take a snap and run a play-action pass, you can pretty much run a Kevin Stefanski system. If you're that, you're on time and you're accurate, you can run the system. Which I think Shedeur Sanders, on time may be a question mark. Like, maybe he needs to clean that up, but he's a rookie quarterback. That's something that's going to happen. He's going to come in with flaws, as does every rookie quarterback that has ever existed. Joe Burrow came in with flaws. Not enough arm talent. They had to structure their offense in a way that wasn't deep shot after deep shot. And they had to keep things more within the, you know, 30-yard range and in, 40-yard range and in. Yeah, you have to develop and adjust to your quarterback as much as your quarterback has to develop and adjust to the system he's placed in. I just feel like we don't talk about these quarterbacks that, oh, yeah, we're not going to take that guy because he doesn't really fit what we want to do. He doesn't fit the system that we're trying to build here. No, if he's that talented of a kid, you just take him. Sure, if it's a 50-50 and you go, this guy fits what we want to do more, yeah, absolutely. But Shedeur, and one of the major reasons that I had him as my number one quarterback on the board for the Browns was because I thought he did what Kevin Stefanski would want him to do. A lot of the attributes that he had lined up with the Kevin Stefanski offense. The on the field should not be an issue. Yeah, you got to get more comfortable running under center. It's a real thing. It's something that you have to adjust to. It's not an easy adjustment to make. But almost every college quarterback at this point has to go through that. They just don't run plays under center in college football. It doesn't happen. I mean, very few programs. Like, what, you want to look at Air Force? And I also don't throw the football. So try to find me a quarterback that's going to be good out of Air Force. But most programs are just pure shotgun. They look to the sideline for their counts. It is just everything that they have to do and the adjustments they make to the game. But every quarterback makes them. Again, Shador's ability to be on target and accurate tells you he can do it. His ability to be even bolstered and be better when a run game is set next to him is very promising. Kevin's going through, and essentially, if he's going to stop and say, no, I don't want Shador because I can't control Shador, and Shador's a wild card. Well, there should have been some more communication there probably to either, one, not take Shador and just focus on the 2026 draft class for quarterback, or you drafted him, Kevin, too bad. It's the most talented quarterback there, and if I'm Jimmy Haslam and you try to turn to Dylan Gabriel, I'm going to be marching my way down to the field and marching my way to your office very quickly. Because that's not what this season is about. And Dylan Gabriel, listen, if he was a better quarterback and everybody truly evaluated that, then fine. I don't see how you're going to get to that evaluation. The ceiling is not high with Gabriel. And good thing it's not, because he wouldn't be able to touch it if it was. 216-474-0092. Is there any way Shador shouldn't play in a bad season? I want to get out of the phones. Alfonso's in New York. What's going on, Alfonso?
Not much. How are you, Jake?
We're doing good, man. What do you got?
If you have a bad season and you're not going anywhere, then why don't play your rookie, right? So you can see where you're at with him, and that goes the same thing not just for Shador, but for Dylan Gabriel. You want to see what you can get out of these guys, so when it comes to the draft, you don't have to draft another quarterback and then go through the whole process again with drafting a quarterback and then trying to see who's going to start for you again. Because it just takes up too much of your time. So if I'm the Browns, I would try to play, if the Browns are like sitting at week 16 with only 5 wins and, all right, well, you've seen enough out of the 2 veterans, then put in Shador and Gabriel for the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, and honestly, Alfonso, I'd go way farther than that, and I appreciate the call as always when you make it. I would go farther than that. Like, I'm not waiting until the last 2 weeks of the season. I want somebody to prove to me I'm not drafting a quarterback next year. Because that's the mindset you have to roll in through if you're the Browns. You have to understand that the idea is I have 2 first-round picks, and I'm void of a quarterback of the future. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to draft a quarterback next year with one of the first-round picks. That's the very logical response. Unless there's somebody on my roster that's going to stop me from doing so. That's going to prove to me, yeah, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here for a while. And you're going to, you know, probably rather have me already in the building rather than trying to take a stab at a young guy and hoping that you get it right. Because I'm already playing for you. The whole idea that you draft 2 quarterbacks banks on the fact of you should probably let those guys play. Unless you drafted both of them going, man, they're going to be really good backups one day. Man, these guys in the league a long time, might only start 6 games in their career, but they're going to make a long career in the NFL. In that case, probably shouldn't have drafted 2 of them. Right? Wasn't really looking for my 3rd string quarterback of the future. Sorry. Well, that was not one of the key things that I wanted to find. So, yeah, turn it over to the rookies early. Like, I just don't think it's a hard concept here to look at this room and go, the logical step would be start Joe Flacco, because this team, they preach and they all say, locker room to front office, we think that we can win games this year, and we're going to be better than people think we are. All right, show me it. If Joe's the best quarterback in the room, play Joe Flacco. That's fine. You know, it might not be as served up for next year. That's okay. I want you to truthfully get the most out of what you believe. And if that's not correct, then, you know, you lose games to start the year and it doesn't go the way you wanted it to, then you turn it over to Shador, the guy who is by far the more upside quarterback. Because you know what? If I go through and I see 5 games of Shador and I go, yeah, this kid just doesn't have it. All right, I'll turn it over to Dylan Gabriel. But I understand the upside, just physically, the upside is lower. Like, you just don't get quarterbacks at his height that turn into all-time greats. Drew Brees is like essentially one guy that you can point to that's like, man, he was undersized and he was just great. Yeah, I'm not going to bank on the fact that I find Drew Brees in the draft or that Drew Brees is really still right now the epitome of what it is to be an NFL quarterback. And by the way, Drew Brees is still 6 foot tall. Gabriel doesn't have that. He's about 2 inches shorter than that. He's listed at 5'11". I find that hard to believe. I don't understand the process of never seeing the rookie quarterback. And if your coach stops it, again, I'm blowing up the front office. I'm blowing up the coaching staff. And I'm saying, we'll start fresh. Maybe that's Tommy Rees. Maybe I turn it over to Tommy Rees. But it's somebody. I'm reaching somewhere else and saying, that's my new head coach. We're running a different system, and we're not believing in the system. We're going to believe in talent the way that we do everywhere else on the team. You believe in talent. You're telling me at wide receiver they're drafting, here's what works for Kevin Stefanski. No, they went out and got talented wide receivers, the guys Andrew Berry liked. You're telling me on defense, the only thing they're doing is going, oh, man, what would Jim Schwartz like? No, they reach for talent. They go and get guys that are good. Yeah, does it help when they fit what Jim Schwartz actually likes to do? And I think they built a defensive line who does. Sure. It's not the only thing. Again, 216-474-0092. Mike is in Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Jake. What's going on tonight?
Nothing much, man. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit. Just on this fact, look, first of all, it's not about an infinite bad season. There's no way. It's going to be a bad season. We're just not set up for it. Flips are division's too tough. I can go on and on and on the first six games. And we really need to try out. We don't want to win five or six, seven games or eight games. I know listeners don't want to hear that, but because I'm that guy that's always been on here saying it doesn't do us any good. It just doesn't. We're not going to make the playoffs, so we should be looking at first five picks. And I say this. I know you want to see one of these guys make us not have to take a quarterback next year. But look, one was taken in the third round. One was taken in the fifth round. The guys that we're going to be looking at in the top five picks, okay, which is where we should be if we play this properly. It's in the top five picks, okay, honestly, where we are. And then we got that Jacksonville pick. So we should be taking a generational talent at quarterback, not a project that has a good ceiling, but it's not as high as what that guy next year will be. And that's just my take on it. You know, we can trade. We have a great backup. But I can't see a million years how you'd pass on that kind of guy for unless this one of these two. Like, I think that would be five games for Pickett, six games and five games, respectively, or six games, whatever it works out in math. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think Joe Flacco should see this to field this year. It isn't about, you know, all due respect to Joe, you know, look, we need to find out what we got, and that's about the even amount of games for each guy. That's what I think that would be your tryout, Jake, you know what I mean, the whole season, because we're going to finish low. We want to get draft high, but do you really want to pass up on a top five quarterback?
No, I don't want to pass up on one, Mike. I really don't. But the idea here is that did anybody in San Francisco think that Brock Purdy was going to turn into a guy that they're paying like $50 million a year to? No, they drafted him as Mr. Irrelevant, and he turned into something that, you know, you can have your own argument about, like, I think he's overpaid, but he's not, clearly good enough.
Is he good enough to win a Super Bowl? He's been there. He hasn't done it. I don't know. I think. If I want a notch above him, Jake. I know he's right in the middle there. I think he's like right around 12 or 13 in the league, you know. But I just don't think that's good enough, you know. We got a guy we gave up on that's, I think, number 8 or number 9 right now, Baker Mayfield, when you look at the top 10. I'm not kidding you. And, you know, kick me if you want to, but I'm just saying. So I really think, though, that that's where we're going to need to be. And I just don't think, you know, I'm not saying either one of these guys can get there, but I don't think I'm going to want to pass up on that chance. Because what else do you take in the top five in the draft? Receiver?
No, certainly.
I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to. It's just too much money for a guy that's – you know what I mean? Maybe a defensive lineman. But we've already stacked in the defensive line.
But, so, Mike, you know, I mean, you got to – and we're up against it. But I appreciate the call, your mic is always, Mike. Yeah. It's always good. Yeah. Good. But I just think, like, wide receiver – I mean, look at top five wide receivers. Like, you don't want Ja'Marr Chase? Like, yeah, you don't. I get, like, Ja'Marr Chase is much more the exception than the rule, and I understand that. But, like, Ja'Marr Chase is a top five pick. If you're telling me Ja'Marr Chase is in the draft next year, no, I don't care about the quarterback. Like, I'll figure out the quarterback. I have two picks for a reason. If I have to pass up on what might be a top opportunity, if it's not Arch Manning, and Arch Manning is promised to be the next coming, and he's not Andrew Luck as a draft prospect, I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase over him every single time. Like, wide receiver is a massive thing that can help out this team just as much as quarterback. Like, if I get a top 12 quarterback and I can use two picks next year to say, all right, I have a wide receiver of the future and I have, I don't know, an offensive lineman that's going to be there for the next 15 years, or I have another corner that can be there for the next 10 years. Like, yeah, I might take that if I have a top 12 quarterback, because you can win Super Bowls with top 12 quarterbacks. It's tough. But you can at least get there. Like, Brock Purdy was not far away from winning a Super Bowl. And I think that you could get a quarterback that's better than Brock Purdy. If Shador can be better than that. This isn't an idea that I think that Shador's just going to turn around and be great. I sound very argumentative. I don't want to be argumentative with Mike. Mike had very good points. He made a good point. I wasn't trying to go at him. But Like, if Shador can turn into that, great. It's not that I think it's going to happen. It's you took two quarterbacks. You might as well find out if it will, right? Give it a shot. If it works, great. If not, I'm still in the same spot. Go take a quarterback next year. I just don't see the reason in not playing the two rookies, and especially Shador. I can look at Dylan Gabriel and say, that might be a career-long backup, and it really might. I don't think that's the case for Shador. Shador, I look at Shador and say, that's either going to be a starter in the National Football League, or that guy's going to flame out of the league and be nothing. And you know what? You probably got about an equal chance of either of those two things happening, but I'll be damned if I'm not going to find it out. 216-474-0092. Is there any way Shador shouldn't be playing in a bad season for the Browns? We got the station buzz coming your way here in about 5 minutes as well. We're going to get into somewhere here in the 8 o'clock hour. A this or that, which guy would be more important for the team long term? It's going to sound weird, but it's going to have to make sense. That's coming your way probably around 8 o'clock. But the station buzz coming your way at 7:40 on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Right now, I do want to get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today, so let's do it.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It with the station bus. All right, let's kick things off. Ken and Anthony this morning talking Quinshon Judkins. They had on probably one of the most useful voices to talk about what's going to happen in the legal process of things. That's none other than Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio on to talk about the next steps coming on for the Browns rookie running back.
One thing we've learned over the past 11 years, the NFL does not look kindly on allegations of players engaged in any form or fashion of domestic violence. There is strategically a reason to get this done the moment you're put on paid leave. Because if you just let the legal system play out while you're on paid leave, you may miss the whole season. Because unless you have an incentive to try to get your case wrapped up, and being on paid leave gives you that incentive, yeah, this thing could just linger and linger and linger. So that's how it could go for Judkins.
So the weird thing for me here with Quinshon is the fact of, like, you're not really on paid leave, though, because you haven't signed a contract. Like, they don't owe you any money up to this point. If they didn't sign you, you're not getting paid. Like, you're going to want to try to speed this up as quickly as possible. I don't think the Browns are going to be in any hurry to sign Quinshon to a contract right now, because why would they be? They're like, I'm going to guarantee money, and you might not play this season. I mean, listen, everything is obviously alleged and up in the air right now. We're not drawing any conclusions, but if Quinshon was guilty, for all we know, Quinshon doesn't play football at all this season. I mean, we don't know what the outcomes can be. The one thing I think that we can draw, and what Mike sort of pointed to here, was I think you can pretty much guarantee the fact that Quinshon's not going to play at some point. He's going to get suspended. We brought it up yesterday. Go back and look. Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is a prime example. He's a guy that was with the Cowboys, was accused of domestic violence, was proven innocent in his case, and was still suspended 4 games. I don't know. I shouldn't say proven innocent. I don't know that for a fact off the top of my head. I know he wasn't charged, but I don't know that he was proven innocent. But he's not found guilty. And he was suspended for 4 games because the NFL conducts their own investigations. And like Mike said, they don't take this lightly. They go through and they punish players who are involved in any capacity on this. Fair or not, it brings a bad name to the Shield. It brings a bad look to the Shield, and they're going to make sure that you're punished for it. They're not leaving any doubt on their stance on how it should be. So Quinshon's going to get suspended, and there's nothing really more to take away from it. It's getting to that suspension as quick as possible, getting back on the field and having your ability to at least practice as quick as possible so you can be back and trying to help your team and hopefully back and trying to sign a contract if for Quinshon's case. But again, you're going to have to let, at least in some capacity, this play out. And at the end of the day, if you're innocent, I'm not going to tell you not to let the due process play out, because if you're innocent, you should be proven innocent. We don't know that to be a fact one way or the other, though. We're still sitting around and waiting for answers to prevail, and something tells me we'll be waiting a little bit. Still talking about Quinshon, but more so where the Browns go next. Lance Reisland of Cleveland.com, Coach Riz, good friend of the show, on with Nick and Nick today on Afternoon Drive, and he talked about whether or not the Browns need to look elsewhere for the running back.
This, for me, is more about the offensive line and Blomgren going back to what they do. I think they have enough backs in that room. I think if they bring in another guy, a guy like Pierre Strong, he's not a dynamic guy, but he runs vertically, right? He's going to get you to second and five. If the Browns can win first down on offense and win first down on defense, that's one of the four things I think that can make this team successful. And as a coach, I'm hoping they feel that way. I'm hoping they're not thinking about rebuilding. They're thinking about winning football games and how they win football games. And even if they, you know, it kind of goes back to the Shanahan with Terrell Davis, right? It goes, you know, plug and play with that tailback, because we're going to be physical up front. We're going to create big double teams, the gap, the power. We're going to run some pin and pull, and we're going to dictate up front. Whoever the back is, great. But the back has got to get forward, get them to second five, second six, and then they got a chance to be successful on offense.
So this is great in theory, but the problem is, for me, I just don't know what I have really in the running backs, and that's the difficult part. Like, you really haven't seen this backfield win a ton and be great without Nick Chubb doing it, or Kareem Hunt doing it. Those are two guys that you look at and say are just great running backs. So, yes, the offensive line was good. It also helped that you had a guy that was perennially. Wow, that's a word that we just couldn't get out, but we got to it. And perennially just a 5 yards per carry type of guy in Nick Chubb. It's like, I don't know for a fact that if you do get the offense line to be great, then you're set. I also understand that I'm looking at four guys who are over the age of 30 when the season kicks off, and then pairing that with someone who has had very limited success and dealt with injuries in DeJuan Jones, and just an offense line that's been injured. A great running back helps. Like, it's almost as much for me about the offensive line as it is about the running back. I don't think this is just a plug-and-play Shanahan-style offense the way that everybody wishes that it was. I think it kind of goes both ways here, and it's going to be tough to do it just with the guys that you have there. I don't think you need to go get another one. I think you have enough backs in the room. Like, Jerome Ford, Dylan Sampson, Pierre Strong are capable running backs. I just think you're looking at a much worse running back room without Quinshon in it. But who else are you going to add? You're going to go get Deontay Foreman again? Because I don't know what that really provided for you. Wow, congratulations. I got a bruiser of a running back that can't score from the damn 1 yard line. Thank you very much. Thanks, Deontay, for the very unenjoyable season. Let's wrap up talking Browns here. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com on with Baskin and Phelps today. And she is talking about the defense. Is it going to bounce back? Yes or no?
I think they can rebound. I really do. I think they can rebound. And Miles does seem on a mission to help elevate the play of everyone around him. And Denzel has certainly been doing that all along and has been a tremendous, tremendous leader. So those two guys together, I do think that they can pull this defense back up into a more respectable place. And I think it will help the defense very, very much if the Browns can run the ball. Now, of course, that's why they went out and got Quinshon and Dylan. That was supposed to be a 1-2 combo that would have been dynamite out there. And now we have to see when and where that might happen. But I think a good running game will help that defense, and they will make more of a commitment to it this season. And if the offense can score some more points and stay on the field a little bit, that will help too.
Yeah, I think the last part is sort of what I point to. I don't know how big of a step back the Browns defense really took last year. Like, I mean, from a talent standpoint, did they really get worse? I mean, they ran it back almost identically, which I think is never a good thing. I think teams started to figure them out a little bit. But I think so much more was just on the fact that the offense was completely garbage and did not move the football. and you're looking at a defense that is absolutely just burned out, tired, and every time they're on the field, it feels like they're on the field for 40 minutes because, oh, finally, we got to stop. We can get a break, or we give up a score. At least we get a break. Up, oh, three and out. Get out there. All right. Good to know, guys. 15 points a game. Yeah, it wasn't good. Your defense is never going to look great, and yet they were still middle of the pack. I think if you're talking in the most general sense, a rebound year for the defense, I agree with Mary Kay. They're going to look better this year. I just think so much more of them actually looking better is going to be on the offense being better, not on, oh, well, MJ Emerson's just going to, you know, return to a year one. No, I think MJ Emerson just realized that he's not a guy who wants to be out there for 80% of the snaps in a football game and really tired, and he got burned a lot. He took a slight step back. People figured him out. He'll figure it out again. I got hope for MJ, but I think the defense is going to be fine as long as the offense is, I mean, competent. Like, that is as far as I go. They need to be competent, right, to actually get me something to believe in. They don't have to be good. They don't have to be great. Hey, can you just move the football and maybe put up like 18 points a game? I don't think it's that much to ask. I think it's like, that's significantly less than league average. League average is like almost 22. Just give me like 18. If you can get me 21, I will be elated. All right, let's talk a little Guardians before we get out of here. John Fanta, Fox Sports, on with Afternoon Drive today. And he talked about, does Kwan actually want to be here or not?
I do think there's a degree of genuine character to what Kwan is saying. Do I put all the stock in the world of it? It's sports. It's business, guys. Of course not. I haven't heard where you two are on this, but I actually think that there's some truth to what he says, because I do think he genuinely loves being a Cleveland Guardian. And if he's saying that, then yeah, a normal owner and a normal operation works out a way that they could keep him. And if you don't, it's yet another scar in a long list of things that you were unable to do. I would say if there's anybody that should do it for, it's Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm fully buying what Kwan has to say, and we might talk about it coming up a little bit later on in the show. But he says he wants to be in Cleveland. I mean, what else is the answer? You're going to be like, no, actually, I'm dying for them to trade me. I can't wait for my contract to be up. I am going to be out of here so quick. Like, you can't say that. Not only does that get you in bad standing with Cleveland, but it gets you in bad standing with about every other team in the league, because they go, oh, that guy causes problems in my locker room. That guy causes problems in my clubhouse. You're not going to say that, but I don't have an indication that Kwan's not ever been happy here. I also don't really have an indication that Kwan's ever been elated to be here. He's always been kind of a middle ground. I think that's who he is as a person, to be honest. I just don't think he's a really that exaggerated opinion-wise either way. I think he just kind of hangs around and he's like, yeah, of course I want to be in Cleveland. He's one of those guys, you never know whether he's going to be truthful or not. But all right, that'll do it for this Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, I told you, we're going to play a little bit more of an extreme this or that. It's going to feel weird, but it kind of has to make sense. We're talking Browns at 8 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.